Blog Talk Radio.
Ooh. Yeah. You already know what time it is. It's that official time. When we take this worldwide. Let's go. Listen. So now it's time to turn it up. Surf the radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape, definitely bringing you the power slamming pancakes. It's the mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in and recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off in the book of Genesis when Jacob was wrestling with who he thought was his nemesis. And when the man saw he couldn't overpower him, he touched his hip but he really could have devoured him. And from that point then we hear a name change, rearrange the game, so now we gotta change. So I'm here to let you know it's time to listen to the Pancake and Power Slam Show. Let's go!
Turn it up!
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up!
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up!
It's the Pancake and Power Slam Show.
Turn it up!
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up!
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up!
It's the Pancake and Power Slam Show.
Turn it up!
Your future, it's anybody's guess. Ain't no good reason for getting all depressed. Buy up your pad and pencil, I'll give you a piece of my mind. And in my opinion, nation, the sun is gonna surely shine. I'm back, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm good. I'm here. And we are here in Pancakes and Power Slams, episode 166, live in a living color, getting funky like a monkey, if you will. It feels so good to be back and in good health. And, of course, I appreciate the baddest co-host on the planet, Derek, for stepping in last week, for just doing a fantastic job, as he always. Excellent hand. So appreciative of Derek. And man, I'm excited to talk about some wrestling tonight. How about you?
So excited. And I want to tell you again, man, I'm a better co-host. This whole hosting the show, keep yourself in good health because I don't need it, but everybody else in the wrestling world needs it. So, I mean, but yeah, we have a great episode coming up this week. Last week was great. Week before, probably 165 episodes before this one have been awesome. So, we got nothing but everything awesome coming up. Ladies and gentlemen, Pancakes and Power Slams, 90 minutes is never enough. We got to get this started right now.
Absolutely. Speaking of that, I still got some tag teams from last week. I still got a number of tag teams. We did Name That Tag Team Trivia. And we got some really, really good reviews on that. So, and plus, I want to do it even more this week in honor of an unsung hero and for many years. I tell you what, when I was a kid, I was really big into the 80s. I was really big into the baby face tag teams. I mean, like the really baby face tag teams. And two of my favorite tag teams in the 80s were of course, the Rock and Roll Express. My all-time favorite is the Road Warriors, and second is the Steiners. But two teams that I was a big fan of in the 80s were the Rock and Roll Express, of course, and the Fantastics. And I remember Bobby Fulton and Tommy Rogers, the Fantastics, and I was a big fan. I was a huge advocate and supporter of the Fantastics in the 80s, and I was when they were feud against, you know, Midnight Express, and when they had their times with Jim Cornette, and I was a big fan of Fantastics, and they,
you know, they didn't achieve world tag team fame, but they did capture the NWA United States Tag Team Championship, and I was very happy when they did that. And so, unfortunately, at the young age of 54 years old, one half of the Fantastics, Tommy Rogers, he unfortunately passed away. The news broke just recently, and yeah, just there's the cause of death is unknown as of now, but it's very, very sad to just people. Just in their 50s. I mean, 54 is a young age, you know, relatively speaking. And you know, it's so sad that you know we get to experience things like this. I remember when Road Warrior Hulk died in his early 50s, and it was just really tough to know, and don't know the cause, don't know, you know, the details of it yet, but definitely want to give a shout out to the Fantastic Tommy Rogers of the Fantastics, and we're going to talk about the United States Tag Team Championship. But yeah, we're going to maneuver to the flavor of the week this week and focus on tag teams again, more tag team trivia. And we're going to talk about the United States Tag Team Championship and the flavor of the week, and just a special shout out to Tommy Rogers from the Fantastics. And my prayers, I am one who, you know, am not afraid to use that word. Sometimes it's a bad word to people. My prayers are with the family of family and friends of Tommy Rogers. Derek, you got any memories?
I've got memories, of course. For me, pretty much, was reading about him in magazines when I was in the grocery stores when I was, you know, in elementary school. But I always knew the name, always knew who he was. And, I mean, it's just a shame. And, again, it's like a, you know, Jim Cornette, only every guy, got to put his name out there. And we should try to get Jim on the show. But anyway.
Yes.
But honestly, ladies and gentlemen, just another wrestling, you know, sad story when any wrestler goes, anybody. I mean, it could be a football player, rock and roll star, whatever you're into, when somebody close to you, you know about, you know, passes away. It's sad and it's a shame, but you reflect on them, you realize what a great person, character, persona, whatever your memory is of this person that, you know.
Yeah.
It's great. So, you know, memory lives on. You will never be forgotten.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And yeah, we're, like I said, in honor of tag team wrestling, we're going to continue our tag team trivia, and we're going to talk about the United States Tag Team Championship. One of my favorite championships growing up was the U.S. Tag Team Championships, because there was some really, really good feuds for the U.S. Tag Team Championship when in the 80s and the early 90s, I remember, and we'll talk about that. That's just one thing I'm sure that you all know. For all the many, many listeners that we've had over the past, and we still do, very loyal, I really appreciate that, over the past 3 years, over 3 years now. One thing that I think one of the biggest takeaways that just about everybody can gather from Pancakes and Power Slams is that we love old school wrestling. I spent probably about 10 minutes last week talking about the Continental Wrestling Association. And, yeah, I mean, we've had Flavor of the Week topics of AWA, Mid-South, which, of course, converted to UWF. We've talked about Global Wrestling Federation. We've talked about many, many old school. We've talked about World Class all the time, USWA, just old school wrestling. We just love it, absolutely love it. And it's funny, real quick, before we get into Elimination Chamber, I want to tackle the Stone Cold podcast, and we'll talk, you know, time permitting, we'll talk a little bit more about it later. But I absolutely loved the Paul Heyman interview on Stone Cold podcast, because he embodied everything that I've been saying. And I said it, and I went on a bit of a tangent last week, so to speak. Just talking about old school wrestling and how characters, no matter how much you want to throw in marks and smarks and dirt sheets, and trust me, I write for three big quote unquote dirt sheets, and you know I've been doing it for a number of years now. Journalism and dirt sheet writing, quote unquote dirt sheet writing. I'm in there. I'm a part of the family, so I get it. But as much as you, it doesn't matter how much you throw that in, it doesn't matter how much you throw in people being too smart for their own good in the business, as far as fans are concerned, at the end of the day, this is a quote that he said on the Stone Cold podcast that will never go away from me. He said, "Old school is new school, just updated." And I just, that was an amen, hallelujah moment. So true. And I totally agree with that. At the end of the day, it's still, like I said last week, and I've said many times over the past 3 years, and I've tweeted so much, at the end of the day, it's all about characters. It's all about capturing the audience. It's all about money. What are you going to do to grab my attention and show me that you are money? And I love their conversation on cutting promos. It was absolutely phenomenal. You know, it was a good teaching lesson from Paul Heyman as far as what he do, as far as saying, "Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Paul Heyman," you know, engaging the audience, and I am the advocate of Brock Lesnar. And just his, and just the money that engulfs in a promo, and just a story that he shared about Dusty Rhodes, which he does a very good impersonation of. It was just absolutely amazing stuff that people, you know, if I was a wrestler in NXT or the WWE or anywhere, for that matter, I would watch that podcast again, and you know, and I would be taking notes of what to do. So, and then we'll talk about the tease, whether, you know, Austin versus Lesnar. We'll talk about a little later. We'll talk about that a little later, time permitting. But yeah, I mean, I absolutely love old school wrestling, and Derek and I, we talk about it all the time. And Derek and I are the same age, and we grew up watching wrestling in the 80s, our whole life just growing up watching wrestling. And I amateur wrestled, and Derek actually had some offers to go into professional wrestling. I trained for pro wrestling. I trained for MMA as well. And Derek actually used to wrestle in the independents, and he wrestled with Dean Ambrose and a bunch of other very, very, very notable names and former champions. And so we get it. This isn't just some, you know, around the block, just the next door neighbor podcast. I mean, this is a podcast for the people, of two people who loves and embodies themselves in professional wrestling, and can go hours, as we have 166 episodes of talking about old school wrestling. So I really, really appreciate that podcast. It was a very, very instructional. It was a very tutorial podcast. That the stories were awesome, but the takeaways were absolutely phenomenal.
You couldn't ask for a better podcast. It was so just absolutely mind-bending and mind-blowing. I mean, Paul Heyman, you knew he was going to do that. And Stone Cold Steve Austin kind of went back into his, you know, character phase towards the end about the whole WrestleMania 32 and last minute. It was perfect, absolutely just mind-blowing. From two guys that just, like you and I, but on a different level, Paul Heyman and Stone Cold, just get it. They know what they're doing. They know how to just absolutely put on an awesome podcast. They could just stand up there and burp the alphabet, and you'd be blown away. I mean, that's just what they did. But that podcast, I mean, forget about it. That was the icing on the cake. I mean, I don't know any other better podcast member, maybe with JR or, I don't know, whoever else, but in the book, best podcast to date, other than Pancakes and Power Slam, ladies and gentlemen.
Absolutely. Fantastic. And speaking of tag teams, we got we're going to start off with an icebreaker. Last week, I came out swinging, so to speak, with the Miracle Violence Connection. I'm going to take it a little easier to lead us in this week. So, what was the team name what was the team name of Greg Valentine and the Honky Tonky Man, as Santino Marella would say, Greg Valentine and the Honky Tonk Man? All right, ladies and gentlemen, Elimination Chamber. I tell you what, man, what Rhythm and Blues, fantastic, fantastic job. Oh, I love it. I love it. Thank you so much. So here's the thing. Elimination Chamber, I must say that with the exception of just the hoopla and just the spectacle of WrestleMania, you know, it's hard to say that any, even if WrestleMania is a C-rated pay-per-view, it's hard to say that any pay-per-view is better than WrestleMania just because of Sting and The Undertaker. And, you know, although I couldn't stand the spot, just the NWO coming back, just their appearance, although, again, I thought the spot was horrible. But just seeing all the legends and all that, and, you know, Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns, you know, other than the spectacle of WrestleMania, I must say this was my favorite pay-per-view of the year. I think for a two-week build-up, I was thoroughly impressed for the at the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view, you know, for quite some time. And I was even one of those people who criticized just the Elimination Chamber being a pay-per-view, and I was very happy that they stopped, that they didn't make it a pay-per-view anymore. But to have this network exclusive, I was tweeting, I was explaining to my colleagues as far as why the Elimination Chamber came back, because, you know, I read the quarterly release. I actually posted it and broke the news on one of the sites of the quarterly release and how the WWE is really marketing to the shareholders how much the WWE network is an attraction. And then we're talking about just new content, filling the WWE network with new content. That's what's really going to be their bread and butter. I get it. It makes sense. You know, after a while, we don't want to see, you know, Starrcade 92, you know, five times without anything new. I get it, and I really appreciate that. But, you know, it was rolling the dice to have a two-week build to lead into Elimination Chamber. But I tell you what, though, and there's also been reports, of course, We Are Wrestling reported as well, that there's been some talk about creative, it being easier for creative to book, you know, these really short pay-per-views from a creative standpoint. Although I criticized it a lot, from a rational standpoint, I get it. Because this is such a microwave society, I call a lot of our fans that watch wrestling microwave marks, because, you know, you like this person and you don't like them. You like this thing, then you don't like them. You like this angle, then you don't like them. So many flighty, I call them microwave marks. And so, although I still think at the end of the day, wrestling still should be written for casuals, a large portion of wrestling still should be written for casuals, because you're trying to reach the outside in, not the inside out, because the inside is still going to be inside. I mean, I've written for the Bleacher Report for over 3 years now, and there's so many people that's comment in my articles that, so I'm never going to watch wrestling again because this happened, and then, you know, the next article, they'll comment again. So that's probably never going to happen, or rarely going to happen, that someone actually stopped watching wrestling because they didn't like a pay-per-view. And so here's the thing. Writing for the casuals is the way to go. I get it. And so having Elimination Chamber on there was definitely rolling the dice, but I think at the end of the day, it ended up being a very good move because it was a very, very solid pay-per-view, and I was very surprised, maybe because my expectations were low. I don't know if it was that, but I was very surprised. There were about two or three very bad moments of Elimination Chamber, But overall, for a B pay-per-view, this is the best B pay-per-view of the year, and definitely one of the best pay-per-views overall of the year. So I was very impressed.
Oh, totally impressed. I mean, forget about it. I mean, it absolutely captivated from when it started to when it ended. Yeah, there's a few bad moments, but overall, I mean, those are the pay-per-views. The pay-per-views this year, since the Royal Rumble, have been really great. I mean, WrestleMania, give or take, I mean, like you said, it's not really considered a pay-per-view, it's a showcase. It's what it is. They're going to throw all the stops out and throw all the glitz and glamour, and some of it makes sense, some of it doesn't. However, for this Elimination Chamber, kind of like you, expectations was low, but watching it, I mean, I was, again, captivated. It was an excellent pay-per-view. A lot of things happened you didn't think were going to happen, and it blew your mind. It really did. And the WWE, just anything can happen. And that's exactly what happened. I was happy with it. It was something that they needed for the network. And like you kind of said, you think to like radio broadcasts, like they have 3-hour sports shows on the radio. Yeah. The average listener will listen maybe 20 minutes a day, and that's it. So they got to keep recycling and kind of squeeze everything into just one giant, this is what it is. That pay-per-view was the absolute epitome of that. Yeah. Great job, WWE. I'm happy.
Absolutely. And real quick, before we go into the results, I want to make a very, very special, huge, resounding shout-out to the We Are Wrestling live stream. The supporters of Pancakes and Power Slams and We Are Wrestling and WAW Nation is absolutely phenomenal. I get people who subscribe to the show on YouTube, and I get texts and emails all the time about, you know, people let me know after, you know, Tuesday nights. I get a lot of messages about people sending me, you know, good show throughout the week. But I'll tell you what, man, it's 11:22 p.m. Eastern time right now. And we got a number of people in the We Are Wrestling Nation live stream chat room that's just giving overwhelming encouragement and support to the show. Now, here's the thing. I absolutely love Bleacher Report. You know, I've been writing for Bleacher Report for 3 years. I don't even know how many reads I have now, over 5 million. And I get a ton of support in Bleacher Report. But I tell you what, there's just like here's the thing. We Are Wrestling is like Alberto Del Rio going to the ROH show. It's like, yeah, you're with the big leagues, and it's cool, the money's good, you know, but it's that feeling of an intimate crowd that gets you just revved up and just makes you appreciate what you do so much more. When you're with the big leagues, when you're a big fish in a big pond, you know, you stand out, but you stand out with a whole bunch of other people. But the support that WAW Nation and We Are Wrestling live stream gives me is absolutely phenomenal. I cannot thank you guys enough of just the support that you guys give me. I'm just looking at the comments here, and I'm just like, man, I really, really appreciate these people. And me doing the Pancakes and Power Slam show on We Are Wrestling, it's like Alberto El Patron in an ROH show. I love watching El Patron on an ROH show. This guy, seems like he's going to break his arm because he gets so pumped. He just points down all the time, and he just swings his scarf around. And I actually saw him live in Dayton, Ohio last year. And, yeah, I mean, just he's super, super pumped. I mean, this guy was the man. You know, when he was Dos Caras Jr. in Mexico, he was one of the biggest names in Mexico. Of course, he was 4-time world champion in the WWE. But it's like that feeling, and I can tell. I've seen him in Mexico. I've seen him in the WWE. I've seen him in Lucha Underground. But it's like that feeling when El Patron goes in an ROH ring, you can tell when he comes down that ring, he's just so appreciative and so enamored by the intimate level, genuine support that he receives from that ROH crowd. And that's exactly how I feel. Pancakes and Power Slams being live on Rio Wrestling. And so major, major kudos to the show. Absolutely, absolutely. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's get to Elimination Chamber in Corpus Christi, Texas. And this was actually supposed to be a house show. So it's very, very interesting that they changed it up. And kudos for the Corpus Christi, Texas crowd. They got a lot better than they expected. It was just supposed to be a house show, but it turned into a an awesome pay-per-view. So we start off with Stardust defeating Zack Ryder in a pre-show. It was so funny because I actually thought that this is the match that I was expecting. I was expecting I should have said this last Tuesday because this is the pre-show match that I predicted. It wasn't advertised, and I was like, you know what? I bet you the pre-show match is going to be Stardust against Zack Ryder because you had Zack Ryder, you had his Long Island moment, so he's got a little bit of steam, and you want Stardust to get some type of steam to lead into his expected match at SummerSlam against Stephen Amell. And, you know, you got the Stephen Amell, you got some cross-promoting there. And so, you know, kudos to Stardust for potentially having a big spot at SummerSlam, the second biggest pay-per-view of the year. You know, the Stardust character is ridiculous. It's been played out, you know, for quite some time now. But Cody Rhodes as a wrestler deserves much better than Stardust. That's why I'm very happy that Cody Rhodes as a wrestler is somehow getting a notable spot instead of just jobbing out all week and every week. It's ridiculous. But, you know, I'm cool. I was cool with the pre-show match, and I'm okay that we got Stardust versus Cody Rhodes, Stardust versus Zack Ryder, and it was a decent match as I expected, and you know it's building some steam for Stardust leading into SummerSlam.
And I love the Stardust versus Cody Rhodes. That was so great. Against Zack Ryder. I was making fun of you, Chris. However, that was
yeah.
Good. The thing with Stardust, I mean, it's ruining his character now. It was relevant a few months ago when Goldust came out with him. But now it's like Goldust is no longer around. You need to get with something else. I mean, the guy can go. The same thing with Zack Ryder. I mean, the guy can go from bell to bell. He put on a great match. It was a good opener. It's too bad it was an opener because, you know, obviously the both of them would rather have something else, at least mid-card. But, you know, it is what it is. They made the best they could do with it. So, you know, great opening match.
Yeah, I agree totally. All right, so next we get Miz TV with Daniel Bryan. Oh, boy. Now, this segment was just not very good. I'm still the I'm looking at the evolution of Macho Mandow, and he started off with the 80s Savage with the star trunks, and now he's going into the 90s Savage with the, you know, the full garb on, and you know, I'll say this much: Mandow looks more like Savage. I mean, and this is not saying much at all, but Macho Mandow looks more like Savage, minus the build, of course, than Axel looks like Hogan. I mean, yeah, and again, I just can't. Every time I see the Mega Powers, I cannot get away from Billionaire Ted and the Nacho Man and the Huckster. Every time I see the Mega Powers, I envision the Huckster and the Nacho Man because they look just like they could be in that parody that they did during the Monday Night Wars, the Huckster and the Nacho Man. And I see that just about every single time the Mega Powers come out. And I just can't take them seriously. I cannot take this team seriously, and they must stop. I mean, they must stop ASAP. I just can't take it. It's just absolutely ridiculous. I know that they're finally giving Axel a spot and some charisma. I get it, but I mean, this has to stop.
It's got to stop. I mean, it makes no sense. It's not fun. I mean, that was a totally blown spot for Daniel Bryan, and it makes him look kind of like a sleaze now, just for the fact that he introduced these guys. Oh, these are great guys. Come on down. I mean, the thing's, it's like you said, Nacho Man and the Huckster. There's nothing to this that's going to make anything good. You've got two talents that Sandow. I forget his name. They changed his release.
Macho Mandow.
Elizabeth. It's not the
Elizabeth.
Will you marry me?
Oh yeah.
Wow, that was a '90s wrestling. Ladies and gentlemen, the new absolute sham. Disgust. I don't want to see it anymore. It's not funny. It's just a waste of time. And I'm sorry, Daniel had to be a part of. I'm sorry, the Miz had to be a part of that.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, Miz is trying to be relevant as a heel. You know, he's still a good, solid mid-card hand as a heel. He's doing this, he's, you know, maximizing his gimmick with the Hollywood. And, you know, I'm okay with the Miz, but just absolutely a very awesome comment here. We are wrestling live stream. The son of Kurt Hennig should not be relegated to a comedy act, and that's exactly right. I mean, you know, Joe Hennig has not been the guy who has been known for charisma. His dad was very, very charismatic, but Joe Hennig was not. And here's the thing. He was basically the death knell from the very beginning. He comes in, first of all, he's Joe Hennig in Florida Championship Wrestling. He was a very notable star in FCW. And then you change him from Joe Hennig, you put him on NXT, and you make him Michael McGillicuddy? Where's the linkage there? You show footage of his dad, Kurt Hennig, but we're supposed to believe Michael McGillicuddy. I think that from the very beginning was just saying that, here's the thing, Hennig, we really don't care about you succeeding. We just want to put you in the main roster so you can fail on your own. And he came to the main roster with basically 2.5 strikes against them. It was absolutely ridiculous. And then they realized how ridiculous it was, and he leaves and becomes Curtis Axel. Then they have the nerve. Curtis Axel wasn't charismatic. Then they had the nerve to put him with Heyman as if that was going to make a difference. And Heyman said it very well on the podcast. You know, with Lesnar, with Punk, he has a genuine relationship with Lesnar and with Punk. So being with them as the manager and the advocate, it works very well because he has a genuine relationship with them. So, but when he's put with Ryback and Curtis Axel, it just doesn't work because there's no genuine relationship there. It's just, you know, you're expecting Paul Heyman, you know, to squeeze blood out of a turnip, so to speak. No one can do that. It just doesn't make any sense. And of course, you know, that the Curtis Axel thing didn't work. They made him Intercontinental Champion, Father's Day. I think it was Payback. It was Father's Day, and it made sense. It was, you know, sentimental, and you know, it made sense. But at the end of the day, it just didn't work because Curtis Axel has no charisma. The Axel Mania got some steam behind it because of the Royal Rumble thing, but just relegating them to this is just absolutely ridiculous. New Day defeating Primetime Players, Kid and Cesaro, Lucha Dragons, Los Matadores, and Ascension, Elimination Chamber. I like the idea of having all three of New Day be in the pod and be involved in the match. I think that that was, I think that that's just adding more layers to the heel New Day character. Having all, you know, we're so used to the Freebird rule, but having all of them be a part of it was, is just even more amazing. And I'll tell you what, I've had people tweet me and I've had people come to me say, Chris, you were right about the New Day, because I was a fan of the New Day from day one, probably because I'm a Biggie. Biggie's one of my top five wrestlers in the WWE. I've always been a Biggie fan, even the five count NXT. And I've just stuck with Big E. And, I've been a fan of New Day from the very beginning. I think it was a good way to make all of them relevant. And when they made their organic heel turn and made it even much more better, and it's working. They're doing a fantastic job. And they remind me of like a very, very better version of when Lanny Poffo Lanny, you know, when Lanny Poffo was the genius. You know, he would come out and be very pompous, but have his poems and show his, you know, it's like the genius magnified from a positive standpoint. It's like the genius meets Waylon Mercy. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to say positive things about you, but be artistic with it. And, yeah, the New Day is that personified. Absolutely. They're some of the best heels in the business right now. I love the organic feel of the New Day. And they're the definition of striking while the iron's hot, because they're the best tag team in the WWE main roster right now. And they work, and they're fantastic. And I'm so happy that they continue to be tag team champions. And I, you know, they have enough steam in them to have a long title run.
They have a ton of steam behind them. And I mean, you were always an advocate. I didn't like them when they first started. I didn't like all the happy-go-lucky stuff. But now, I mean, the tides have turned. They have totally entranced me to what they are, a beautiful tag team, Chris. I mean, I'm dead serious.
Yes, they are.
Their mechanisms, what they do, they're the best that there is right now in the tag team division. And I'm totally converted to them. The New Day has just, what they've done is just kind of made it to where the point where hated them at first, but then when they kind of turn heel, it's wow. I mean, it was so natural. It was such a natural heel turn that it was almost, they're not that different from what they were when they were baby faces. So it just transcends into that point where it's just, it's fluid. I love it. I mean, I've got nobody else I'd rather have the thoughts on than them at the point. I mean, they've made it absolutely, the tag team division is great now, just for the fact that they have the book on them.
Absolutely. Real quick, you got a comment saying who's talking with me right now. My co-host, Derek, he's been a co-host on the show since the very beginning. Well, I hired Derek on as the moderator for the chat room, so he did that from the very beginning. Then he moved up to the Raw correspondent, a few months into the show. And then for the past, probably a couple of years now, he's been the full-on co-host. And so Derek used to wrestle in the Indies. He used to wrestle with many big names, such as Jon Moxley, Jamie Noble. He's got many stories of wrestling in Heartland Wrestling Association. And so, yeah, I'm glad to have Derek as a co-host. And, I appreciate you guys asking the question. Yeah, so, I I appreciate interesting. Interesting comment here as well. It says the tag team division is great because the Usos are out. Very, very interesting comment there. I don't necessarily know how I feel about that because I'm a big Usos fan, but I can't totally disagree with that because the tag team division has elevated quite a bit since the Usos have been gone. So I can't totally dispute that comment. But it's true. The tag team division has elevated a lot. But I will say this, though. You know, the Usos was very instrumental in building steam behind the tag team division. And I'm a big fan of Usos just because they're old school with the new flair. They still have that wild Samoan tradition behind them. And, you know, but of course you add some flair to them, and they're fantastic wrestlers. They're awesome wrestlers. Somehow you're going to have to add some extra layers and variables to the chant, because the chant, doing that every single time, you know, gets quite old. So it's, yeah. A comment here says, I actually love the Usos, but I didn't like when the division revolved around them. I would say their matches were top-notch. Their matches with the Wyatts were amazing. There you go. Perfect comment to sum it all up right there. Next we have Nikki Bella defeating Naomi and Paige. Now, this is one of the two things that I didn't like about this at all. This match was absolutely horrible. And it's just, why in the world would you keep, and we'll talk about Raw here in a minute too, why in the world would you, what is the purpose of keeping the belt on Nikki Bella? There's absolutely no purpose of doing that at all. I mean, she's had the belt for, 6 months now? Almost 7 months? And the Divas division has been that horrible. It's been absolutely ridiculous with her. I mean, you're getting these back and forth face and heel turns. Now she's becoming a little heelish, as we saw on Monday with the Twin Magic. Oh, man, it's just ridiculous. How in the world am I supposed to buy into your character if 1 week you're a babyface, the next week you're a heel? You haven't even established yourself as a character for you to be a money character. And again, I've said this for weeks and weeks and years, and Paul Heyman just stamped it yesterday on the podcast, that when I look at you, when I look at your promos, when I look at your character, when I look at you, I got to see money. I got to see that larger-than-life character. How am I supposed to see that if you're flip-flopping every week from babyface to heel? 1 week I'm supposed to cheer you, the next week I'm supposed to boo you. I don't have time to do all that. I don't have enough. You know, I'm not supposed to think that pro wrestling. I'm not supposed to think about the Pythagorean theorem when I think about pro wrestling and try to solve equations. This doesn't make any sense. And so I'm not buying the Divas division right now. NXT women's division just blows the Divas division out the water. And just Nikki Bella as champion makes absolutely no sense. Naomi should have won the title, hands down. You're going to make her heel. You're going to put her in this big heel push. She's I'm a May-ay-ay-ay-zen. If she's so amazing, she should have had the title. Now she's basically out of the equation. And so the heel turn meant nothing. I'm just not buying into the creativity of the Divas division. It's absolutely ridiculous.
I mean, there is no creativity with that. And it's almost like maybe Nikki Bella is like the queen of the show on E, Total Divas.
Yeah.
There's nothing that absolutely makes any sense. With Naomi, should have the title. And I don't have a whole lot to say about the Divas division. For crying out loud, I mean, Nikki's had it for how long now? You've had Brie with her. I mean, her and Brie have been on and off. I mean, it's like it's a total disaster of a wrestling faction as the Divas division. And, you know, Paige, at least Paige should have it. Somebody, anybody but Nikki Bella. She's had it. She's the paper champion. She's a steel champion. I don't even know. I mean, Paige had the belt for a while, but didn't really do anything for it because she's turned into a powder puff just as well, almost it seems. So, I mean, we've got a little bit of excitement coming into it. If Lana jumps in, who knows what she's going to bring to it. She could just turn into another diva, which is what I'm so against. I don't want divas anymore. I want women wrestling.
I totally agree. Absolutely. Yes, absolutely agree. A couple things here. A couple comments here from the live stream chat room. So many loud spots calling, you know, callings in the Divas match. Absolutely. You can literally hear Nikki go, okay, ready? 1, 2, 3. It's just ridiculous. Absolutely. It just, and I've said this, I think, a week or two ago, and, you know, JTG was talking. He had an interview on the show a few months ago, and of course, you know, one of the biggest buzzes for the past few months have been his book Heat, and he was talking about calling, having matches, you know, I guess pre-made, so to speak, or booking them on the fly within two wrestlers. And, you know, he was talking about in his book that if you don't really know what you're doing and if you can't, you know, you have the chance to really have a terrible match if you book it on the fly and you really don't know how to work in sync and good chemistry. And you can definitely see that on this Divas match. It was ridiculous. Another comment says at least the last couple Nikki matches, we haven't had to deal with the obnoxious yelling from Bria ringside. Come on, Nikki! Come on, Nikki! Yeah, I agree. It was ridiculous. Yeah, as soon as I read that comment, I thought about it. Come on, Nikki! Yeah. So, yeah, I totally agree with that. Next, we have the total opposite of what I just said. Kevin Owens and John Cena. Oh my goodness, this match was it was absolutely amazing. And this match was just about flawless. And this was as ROH as you can get in a WWE stage. I mean, this match was so ROH that, yeah, I'm sure even Vince was cringing as far as how much it mirrored an ROH match. And, yeah, just the pop, just the springboard from the middle ropes to springboard moonsault, just the you know, the senton that Owens did, you know, he patented that when he was Kevin Steen and ROH. Owens brought some ROH to, I mean, Owens basically introduced the WWE crowd to ROH. That was a fantastic match. The very fact that Steen actually won cleanly was great booking. It was great booking. And I said last week, I said, win or lose, NXT wins. And I believe that wholeheartedly, and it's so true. And I think that this is an awesome, awesome staple to the NXT brand, and we're even going to see it on SmackDown, you know, as far as the NXT Open Challenge. Just fantastic. I'll tell you what, man, I have, I've had a lot of people here on the Pancakes and Power Sam show that's been burned by WWE, and we've had, you know, some people say bad things about Triple H, some people say decent things about Triple H, some people say good things about Triple H. I can understand every angle. I can understand about, you know, every angle that people had about Triple H. And I can see the bad Triple H. I can see the very political Triple H. And I could see the Triple H, who really understands the business. He's been wrestling for over 20 years. I see the Triple H that really understands the business and understands the kind of, you know, NXT is kind of like a territory, so to speak. It kind of reminds me of the it's kind of like a hybrid of ROH, the Indies, and territories, because NXT is really its own territory. It's as close as wrestling in the territories you can get. It's like, you know, the intimate Full Sail crowd, 400 people. It's like, you know, it's like Memphis wrestling all over again. You know, you got the characters, you still got the wrestling, you got the promos. It's like Memphis wrestling. It's like old NWA or wrestling or old Memphis wrestling all over again. It kind of brings that territory feel, you know, to pro wrestling. And so that's the reason why I respect Triple H from a business standpoint, because NXT is just absolutely amazing. And to bring it to the main stage like this, and I tweeted this after the match, I said that this is very Invasion-esque, only this time the outsiders don't look like fools. And this is a very Invasion-like, you know, angle they're doing with Steen. And, you know, the Nexus, it worked with the Nexus for a hiccup until John Cena just pulled the plug out of that. And to be honest with you, I would not be opposed to see someone like a Baron Corbin, you know, even like a Mojo Rawley, Bull Dempsey, people like that coming up, like a Jay Jordan. You got people coming in like that from the NXT, backing up Kevin Steen and just running roughshod on, you know, the mid-card WWE talent. I'd be totally okay with that. I wouldn't overstay that welcome. I would put NXT back to NXT, but I would still have some type of Invasion-like, you know, angle to really put NXT on the map and have people who are casual fans, you know, look forward to watch NXT on Wednesdays, you know. So I think that would be a good idea. But this match all around was just absolutely impeccable.
It was impeccable. And if this match does not turn you on to NXT, I don't know what will. Because, I mean, this is the farming league. This is a breeding ground for the future of the WWE. You know, and the Indies, they always had they had their farming leagues, WWE did, with OVW, HWA back in the day. You know, numerous ones. But, I mean, this is one that they just absolutely backed. They put their seal of approval on it. So it's almost like to get in the Indies, you want to get to the NXT to get to the WWE. How can anyone ignore the NXT anymore? You cannot. I mean, if they do an Invasion angle with this, this is what almost make up for how horribly they mishandled the WCW invasion, ECW
yes,
invasion
absolutely.
Early on.
Yeah.
So, but so far, so good. They're doing great with it. Keep it going. I don't want them to screw this up, because, I mean, they could easily do that. But, I mean,
yeah. So
far it's been exciting. It's been great. So we got a lot of things to cover, pancakes and power slams, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. You know, I would love a main. I think so. Yeah, someone's actually saying this here on the live stream, the chat room. I would totally be okay for SummerSlam being an NXT versus main roster elimination match, or even, you know, we got over about 5.5 months away from Survivor Series. I don't know if you want to stretch it that far, but I would do like a, you know, 5-on-5 match at SummerSlam, because if you do a 5-on-5 match at SummerSlam, you still got 3 months away from, you know, Survivor Series. So it doesn't tarnish the traditional, you know, 4-on-4, 5-on-5 feel if you do like a 10-man match at SummerSlam. Like I said, it'll be a good way to have Kevin Steen on the main roster for SummerSlam. And like I said, bring in a Baron Corbin, You know, Jay Jordan, Mojo Rawley, Paul Dempsey. There's your five people. There's your five strong heels for. And the thing is, a lot of people like Tyler Breeze. You know, people are big on Tyler Breeze, but I certainly wouldn't put Tyler Breeze up in. You know, I wouldn't bring him up to the main roster for this because he's not a strong, intimidating, you know, person. Mojo, Bull Dempsey, Corbin, Jordan, those are four, you know, intimidating. I mean, Jay Jordan has more of a Shelton Benjamin, Charlie Haas look to him, but he's still a big guy, a big, you know, a muscular guy, very athletic. And so I would definitely bring him up. So, you know, of course, Mojo and Baron Corbin, you know, I've been a Corbin mark for a while. Great way to bring them up. There's your five men. And, of course, you know, you have and here's the thing. Even if you want to subtract someone like a Mojo Rawley and have, you know, even just throwing this out here, even someone like Neville turning, you know, and going and signing with NXT, that'll add character to his flair. Or you can have Neville be a swing vote, so to speak, and either go with NXT or go with WWE. And if you want to keep him as a babyface, put him on the WWE squad with, like, Ziggler and Truth. You know, of course, a couple others. You know, possibly like Ryback and Cena, you know, and so there's your 10-man match. It would draw. It'd be a fantastic match for SummerSlam. Neville defeating Bo Dallas. You know, this was a filler match. This was just a way to keep Neville in our minds. You know, it wasn't nothing big about that. Next Elimination Chamber match was Ryback winning the Intercontinental Championship. I'm totally on board with this, too, because finally Ryback has a push that actually had a payoff. They tried a push against CM Punk, you know, back a few years ago, and then, you know, Brad Maddox just blew that out the water, and then the Shield just started beating him every month, it seemed like. And then all of a sudden they had him lose at Mark Henry to WrestleMania. Like, that made any sense. And then they tried to push him again with, you know, when he was feuding with Cena. That bombed. And so finally they're pushing him again. And you know, having him as Intercontinental Champion is good. I mean, feed me more. People still chant it. It's still money. People are buying into the Ryback brand. You know, he's a good mid-card hand. I'm totally on board with him being Intercontinental Champion. I think it's a fantastic idea, and I think that he can really – I mean, and he's evolved. I mean, people have to admit that Ryback has evolved, especially on the mic, because I remember his mic skills were just despicable, you know, a couple of years ago. But he's definitely evolved and progressed very much on the mic, and so I'm very, very happy about his progress, and I give him major kudos, and I'm happy about that. Real quick, the botch that botch that happened with the glass of the pod breaking, you know, before Mark Henry was supposed to be in, it seemed like they definitely pulled an audible on that. Because Mark Henry was looking at the ref, and I think it was Kyoto that was reffing, and he was just like, no, and all of a sudden he comes in, and then all of a sudden they do some stupid decision to have the pod, Sheamus's pod, be stuck. Now that was a horrible, horrible way. I know that every match is timed, and so they try to kill time to meet up with the time commitments of each match, but that was such a horrible, horrible way to try to make up for time. And it's so funny when Sheamus, somehow he used his Celtic Cross to get him out of the pod, and then minutes later he rams someone through the pod and the glass breaks. And so that's how easy it was to, you know, to open the pod. So that was a horrible way to try to make up for time. It's so funny that I tweeted JTG during the match, and we were tweeting each other, you know, we tweeted back and forth. I told him, I said, he's going to receive heat for that botch, for that pod botch, Elimination Chamber. Yeah, so he thought that was funny. So, but yeah, it, you know, it was a good match overall, and I'm definitely happy that Ryback won.
That was a good match overall, but with the pod malfunctioning, it kind of brought it back to what's going on. This is silly. This is, everybody knows that it's fixed and this is crazy, and what. It just kind of dumbs you down a little bit. Yeah, Ryback winning. I mean, he's going to be a great Intercontinental Champion. They're still trying to build a little more prestige behind the Intercontinental Championship that they haven't had for years and years and years. But, again, the pod thing was just silly and over the top and dumb. Ryback, I mean, they've done much with him in the past. It's really amounted to nothing. So this should be something that really tells them. Hopefully he can make the most of it. Like you said, his mic work has been so much better than what's been in the past. But the Elimination Chamber IC match, it was good. I enjoyed it for the most part. I mean, honestly, they have to quit doing these little tricks and get, oh, something that's all of a sudden, oh my gosh, what's going on?
Yeah.
Honestly, it the match just adds, it just comes down so much. Would have been just better. You don't need to kill time. Just let these guys go. That's all you need to do.
Yeah.
Just let these guys prove themselves and make the match without you having to interfere and make some stupid stipulation thing that just all of a sudden happened. Forget about it. Let them do it.
Absolutely. The team name of Paul Orndorff and Paul Roma. The team name of Paul Orndorff and Paul Roma. Great question. Why wasn't Wyatt in the Elimination Chamber? I don't know what in the world they're doing with Wyatt. We'll talk about that a little bit more here in a bit with Raw. I don't understand why Wyatt beat Ryback. Ryback had more than momentum. He's the Intercontinental Champion, and then Wyatt lost on Raw, you know, in the main event. So Wyatt is once again in limbo, and, you know, at the end of the day, you're going to have to really funnel who's to blame for Wyatt never being able to break that threshold. You're really going to funnel it down more and more. So, yes, pretty wonderful. That was easy. All right, who was Creative Control? Who was Creative Control? That's the next tag team. Creative Control. Main event, Seth Rollins versus Dean Ambrose. And here's the thing. This is so funny. When I saw Ambrose win, I knew that we were getting a dusty finish. I knew it. Like, when I saw the whole thing map out, you know, it was a good match for the most part. You know, some good spots. Ambrose and Rollins, you know, always have good matches. But as soon as Ambrose won, I was like, okay, there's no way. He's not winning the title. Good ovation, by the way, when he won. But I knew that we were going to see a dusty finish. And I was just waiting and waiting, and I didn't budge not one moment. I'm like, this isn't real. My reality was not even suspended for 1 second. I knew it. I said, dusty finish, here we come. And, you know, lo and behold, we see a dusty finish. But I'm totally okay with it. I think it was a really good way to transition us into another pay-per-view, because I even said this, I've been saying this for weeks. At the end of the day, if the plans still go as originally, you know, booked, we're going to see Brock versus Rollins. And so there's, you know, three pay-per-views, you know, from Elimination Chamber. Well, more now, because you had after WrestleMania, you had Extreme Rules, Elimination Chamber, Money in the Bank, you had Payback, and we're going to have Battleground. So five pay-per-views before SummerSlam, So within those five pay-per-views, Seth Rollins is going to have to defend the title for five pay-per-views before SummerSlam. So each month we're going to have to figure out who's going to be the victim of Seth Rollins, so to speak, but someone who can suspend our reality to believe that Seth Rollins actually is going to lose. And I think using the dusty finish was a good way to kind of transition us into Money in the Bank, and I was totally okay with it.
Yeah, it was okay, and I marked out for a second. Bruce won. I was almost like, this can't be happening. And, of course, it wasn't happening. So, I mean, we all saw the referee get pulled in front of Rollins when Ambrose came off the rope. It was exciting. And, I mean, how is Seth Rollins going to continue to defend this title? I thought maybe he'd lose it. Maybe he would get it back. And, you know, just in time for SummerSlam when Reigns and Brock Lesnar might, you know, tussle again. Who knows what's going to happen? But again, it was a great ending. I love the fact that, you know, Ambrose just kept the title and said, screw it, this is mine, and, you know, to heck with you guys. It's awesome. Yeah. I like to see the brotherhood still between the old Shield members of Ambrose and Reigns. But it'll end soon. But for the most part, I mean, again, the pay-per-view was stellar. Stellar finish.
Yeah.
Love for a minute of it.
Absolutely. Roman Reigns has been a little bit too friendly to Dean Ambrose. I hope that's not leading to a heel turn, because I'm totally against Reigns being a heel. I think you need to, you know, go through the storm. You know, make him weather the storm. I think he's doing a very good job. People are starting to get behind him. And I think they're doing a good booking job as far as protecting his character. So, great comment here. Feels like Owens is holding the main WWE title. He has the most feuds and he beats people. Rollins just runs away. And I've said that many times. Rollins is a Weasley heel is not working. Then we had a comment that says this cowardly heel act gets pretty old. I totally agree. It's really lame, and it's just a very non-creative beat down, you know, way to just really get someone over. And I it's not working for Rollins. It's the reason why he doesn't draw. He's a fantastic, and I say this all the time, I'm a fan of Tyler Black. I've followed Black in the indies. I was a big fan in ROH. I marked out when he won the ROH World Championship. But unfortunately, you know, he's not drawing as champ because, you know, him with J&J Security is just getting, it's just old news. So, Raw, ladies and gentlemen, is coming up.
Bring what you got. The measuring stick just changed around here, buddy. You're looking at it.
Four corners, free, our mind, let's go. The whole squad is making it clear, we've taken this year. You know who we are, but you don't know why we're here. So this is where the big boys play. These big boys play like who defies the living God. Get out the big boys' way. Outsiders with the swoop in. We live as kings, you see in us. But our third man waits in the wings. And when the time is right, we shock him with the proper attack. I go for Dolo, but ain't solo. Cut the promo in black. Hollywood, Hendrix, Prizzle, pinning them to the mat.
And I'm Das Wunderkin with the strength of 100 men, with one intent, to see the will fulfilled of the one who sent his son to give himself. But you rap about your gas and your rags torture, white coffins when I drop a bomb. My mic's awesome, never lost faith. You in all space, you can all skate, suffer but never crippled. No bin walls in my cross face. From here to Saturday raving, anticipating I was frostbitten, now I am Glacier mixed with some Vader. Get to hawking with these animals, you and God for my defense. In Alabama, we jamming. That's beautiful. Bobby Eaton, me and Priest, we the dangerous alliance. Nah, the Harlem Heat. Tie the do-rag before we do battle. You're talking sheep. You all what you speak. This too sweet.
Till the genre is took back, we repping that work pack. The foundation's shaking, no mistaking. Yeah, we shook that. Trust in God, we trust. Pushing forward, never look back. Meekness ain't at all weakness. Some people mistook that. Stamping out this crook rap. He turning the power. power on the razor's edge, leg drop after a power bomb. Tired of the lies, man, we bringing the truth through, diligent and fruitful, the owners in our group too. It's good to be king, sold out, this war is brutal. We playing them war games, our army go move too. You too, I'm in the Raptors with a bat in my hand, and stand to shatter all your plans so they don't matter. In the grand scheme, it's that easy. We tag teaming, Steiner brothers, we love it. Demand the win, establish it. This the clash of the champions.
This is where the big boys play, huh? We ain't here to play.
Absolutely. And we get to our next trivia question. Great job. Creative Control was the Harris Brothers. Next, we have the Destruction Crew. Who was the Destruction Crew? All right, Raw was in San Antonio, Texas. The Authority calls out Dean Ambrose. Roman Reigns come out, convinces Rollins to agree to a ladder match at Money in the Bank. So he's Dean Ambrose's spokesperson all of a sudden. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know, it helps, I suppose. You know, I dig it. But, you know, at the end of the day, they're protecting Reigns, and I appreciate that. They're doing, and it's working because people are getting behind him more. So he ends up defeating King Barrett to keep his Money in the Bank spot. This Raw reminded me of, like, Steve Austin in the Corporation days. And this also reminded me of, I remember, and I'm sure a lot of people from RealWrestling.net live stream, remember that SmackDown when Triple H was feuding against Vince McMahon, and Vince McMahon had Triple H go in three different stipulation matches. I think it was he went against Viscera. I think it was Minion and Viscera, in a handicap match. Was it Kane and an Inferno match, I believe, and the other match was Rock. I think it was the Rock. I forgot the stipulation to that. Mike Enos and Wayne Bloom. That's great. Yeah, I forgot the stipulation that that Triple H had against, I believe it was the Rock, that he had that night. But it was like he wrestled multiple matches on SmackDown. It reminded me of that, and it was just a way to just really build Triple H's character as a babyface, and that's exactly how I felt, you know, this time, you know, and I think that it was a good way to really build Roman Reigns as a character. So I was okay with it. You know, we first got him keeping the Money the Bank spot for beating King Barrett. Unfortunately, though, and I've said this before, King Barrett, him winning the money, I knew he was going to win the King of the Ring because he needed it more than anybody, because his gimmick is just getting totally, it's just dying a major fast death, and it's just absolutely ridiculous. It's horrible. And it's unfortunate, but I knew that the payoff of Barrett winning the King of the Ring was going to be nothing, because he loses matches over and over and over. It's absolutely horrible.
Hey, it's horrible. I mean, this might work for King Barrett. I mean, I liked it better when he come out, and I'm afraid I got a bit of bad news. He doesn't do that anymore, or at least not as effective. And so it was good. And yeah, I remember the SmackDown, actually, with the well, we got Roman Reigns. He's going to have a pretty big night on Monday Night Raw. So a lot of that going on. King Barrett again, just kind of. I wish they had something better for him. I mean, the King Barrett thing can stick for a while, but so many people have done it before him. I mean, we could dedicate a whole episode to all the kings of wrestling. So. Not effective, not new. Wish something else would happen.
Ryback versus Miz for the Intercontinental Championship. Big Show comes out. Ryback versus Big Show, I'm okay with it. I mean, similar to Roman Reigns, Big Show was, you know, there to make stars, to make younger stars, building stars, to elevate them, and this is the best spot that the Big Show can be in to put over rising stars, and he did a good job with Roman Reigns, and him versus Ryback for the Intercontinental Championship should be a pretty remarkable match.
Should be a good match, but I mean, really beating the Big Show nowadays, it just seems irrelevant, and the Big Show's been a bit of a tool for a while, so not too much going on there, but you know, the Miz, Ryback, it was throwaway. I mean, there was nothing to it. It was just a spot for the Big Show, but again, what's that going to do for him?
Yeah. Next we have Kevin Owens' promo interrupted by John Cena to, you know, build their match. And then we get Dolph Ziggler defeating Kofi Kingston. New Day attacks Ziggler. And then PTP makes a save. And then eventually Dolph Ziggler and PTP defeats the New Day. You know, PTP against the New Day, that should be a pretty good match. And the mockery that Primetime Players does should be fun to watch.
It'd be fun to watch. I mean, this is kind of an interesting twist for the tag team division, so interesting for it. And again, I express how much I like the New Day. Them against Ziggler is another just kind of a showcase for the a bigger angle that's going to be coming up soon.
Absolutely. Next trivia question. Great job, Mike Enos and Wayne Bloom. And this is, of course, this was very easy. The natural disasters. Next, we have Roman Reigns defeating Mark Henry. And Mark Henry is another person that, you know, just flip-flops every week. You know, just it's absolutely ridiculous. It's face one week, heel the other. He came in as a face in Elimination Chamber, and he came back, SmackDown. He was... You know, he got beat up by Roman Reigns, and he was his friend the next week, and kind of had a babyface thing going on, and then he's heel again on Raw. I don't know what to think of Mark Henry anymore. It's very sad because he's such a loyal and dedicated wrestler. He's one of the only surviving, other than Kane, one of the only surviving wrestlers as far as active wrestlers from the Attitude Era. He's been there since 1996, 19 years in the business. Yes, he got a World Heavyweight Championship run, which was well deserved. But I mean, it's getting difficult to see Mark Henry anymore.
Mark Henry's irrelevant. Just like Big Show, just like Kane. And I remember one of my favorite things about Mark Henry was not. Maybe 10 years ago when Farouk would used to put bets on, I bet Mark Henry can do this and that, and everybody in the locker room would throw money down, and I'll bet he can or can't. I mean, that was fun. I mean, he's a novelty act. He has been for a long time. And big guys, WWE just doesn't know what to do with them. I mean, he could be such a devastating persona, yet they use him as a character of, here's Mark Henry, everyone go take a bathroom break or something. The same. I hate it. He could do so much. Same thing with Kane. Same thing with Big Show. That's it.
Yeah. I agree. It's so sad to see. I mean, at least Kane and Big Show has a gimmick, but he didn't have anything. He didn't have. Mark Henry just comes in, loses matches, and that's about it. That's all you see. And it's very, very, very sad. Next, we have a great job, Earthquake and Typhoon. The original Minnesota Wrecking Crew. How about that? Who was the original Minnesota Wrecking Crew?
Arden.
Next, we have. You said Arn and Ole?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, you know the drill. The audience gets the first dibs at it.
I haven't interrupted in a long time.
And second of all, you're wrong. That's incorrect. They're not the original. They're not. the original Wrecking Crew? Nope, absolutely not. All right, next we have Nikki Bella defeating Paige. Again, I said that Bella's using twin magic. It's just ridiculous. Doesn't make any sense at all. Just ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. We talked about that. It just doesn't make any sense at all. All right, next we get Randy Orton defeating Sheamus. We get Orton Orton comes back, but he gets kind of his butt handed to him by Sheamus, and I understand that they're trying to make Sheamus a very monster heel, but I mean, Randy Orton is just there. He's not really doing much. I mean, he had a feud with Seth Rollins to carry over until, Extreme Rules, just to have Seth Rollins, have it be a stronger champion. But what in the world are they, what's in line for Randy Orton? He just seems like people, and it's so funny because I wrote an article on Blitz Report, and I got a lot of scrutiny behind it. Like that ever matters to me. But I got a lot of scrutiny behind it because people were saying, well, I like Randy Orton. He's, solid babyface. And it's so funny. It's so funny because a lot of people who comment on articles, well, I'll say this. I've written for a major website in the past, and I got paid for it. And pretty much eliminate it's process of elimination. It's not a website that I currently write for. It's a website that I used to write for, and I got paid for it. A lot of the comments there was very one-track minded. It's so funny because and a lot of comments on Bleacher Report too are like this, but you get people who are just very just focused on the now and doesn't really have the end in mind. And it's so funny. I would propose something, people would be like, oh, it didn't make any sense, and then it would happen a couple of months later. I'd basically be thinking, I told you so. And I think about the same thing here, with Randy Orton, because he needs a heel turn. He needs to be involved in Intercontinental Championship feud. Him as a face right now is totally flatlined. He's doing nothing, and it just makes no sense.
Flatlining, it's absolutely disgusting. I don't know what Randy Orton, he was gone for a while, and then they bring him back, and he's just a stalemate. He's almost like a Bray Wyatt now. You don't know what to do with him. Does he have any business being with the Authority anymore when the Seth Rollins shuffle? Really don't think so, because they got Ambrose in there. They got Roman Reigns is still relevant in that situation. Randy Orton is just going to be kind of an afterthought, and it's a shame, because they're going to bring Brock Lesnar in soon. Randy Orton has no business with Lesnar. What's that going to do? Absolutely nothing. Yeah. What would you do with Randy Orton? What would you do with him?
Like I said, I'd make him heel. I'd have him be involved in the Intercontinental title feud. I would book Randy Orton versus Ryback at SummerSlam. That would be the Intercontinental title match. It would elevate the title. I would have Orton beat Ryback and Ryback chase it. The money's in the chase. I would have Ryback regain it at Survivor Series. That would be my way to book Randy Orton. Real quick before we go, I did end up digging and found the Triple H multiple match. It was September 23rd of 1999 on SmackDown. Vince said Triple H had to win three out of five matches to enter the six pack challenge match. So he lost to the Big Show in a chokeslam match. He beat Kane in the Inferno match. He lost to Midian and Viscera in a casket match. He beat Mankind in the Boiler Room Brawl. and then he beat The Rock in a Brahma Bull strap match. So he made it. He made it to the six-pack challenge match. Neville defeating Bo Dallas, of course, again. It was just a waste of time. It was definitely a time filler. And then lastly, before we get to the flavor of the week, Roman Reigns defeating Bray Wyatt. We talked about that a little bit. Reigns cornered by the Authority, and Ambrose makes the save. He's trying his best to, you know, utilize his time right now as a main eventer.
Utilize his time as a main eventer. I mean, that's pretty much all he's got. I mean, we play for the week coming up. Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Featherstone is the man when it comes to wrestling. I'm the best co-host in the world, but we've got 166 episodes of this, and this is what we're passionate about. This is what we're going to do. What else have we got in store tonight, Chris? We got 5 minutes. Yes. 5 minutes. Ladies and gentlemen,
yes,
we're going to make this the best 5 minutes of your wrestling life.
Yeah, let's get started.
It is now time for the flavor of the week.
Great job, Gene and Lars Anderson is the original Minnesota Wrecking Crew. Who were the Texas Outlaws? Who were the Texas Outlaws? And we talked about the WCW NWA United States Championship. Actually, I can just run down the line real quick. So there were only 19. It lasted between 86 to 92, 6 years, but it was very memorable years. Khrushchev and Koloff, Garvin and Windham, Murdoch and Koloff, the Midnight Express, the Fantastics. Midnight Express went back. Like I said, great feud in the late 80s between the Fantastics and the Midnight Express. Then the Fantastics regains it. Kevin Sullivan and Dr. Death, Eddie Gilbert and Rick Steiner, Brian Pillman and the Z-Man got it from the Freebirds after it was vacated. Midnight Express get it for the third time. The Steiners get it for the first time. Steiner Brothers win, so vacates that title there. Freebirds win by beating the Young Pistols. And then the Patriots, Todd Champion and Firebreaker Chip win. Then the Young Pistols win. They had like a heel run there that was a bit odd. Big Josh, of course you know as Matt Bourne, and of course you know Doink. Big Josh and Ron Simmons, Terry Taylor and Greg Valentine. And then the Freebirds win it again for the second time. And then the end, the very last team was the Barbarian and Dick Slater. Awesome memories in the 6 years that the U.S. Championship lasted. Of course, if you want to go date back to the NWA days, it goes back a lot more. But as far as the NWA, WCW days, very great memories with the U.S. Championship. Kudos to the Fantastics for being very integral in those memories.
I mean, for crying out loud, you've got the Freebirds in there. You've got the Midnight Express, Dick Slater, of all people. We need these people. These are the founding fathers. This is the stone of the tag team division of wrestling, period. I mean, we've had so many people just climb the ladder to make this what it is. And then most of us aren't even old enough to know who these people are. You and I are, fortunately, because this is what we followed the 34 years we've been alive on this earth. And wow, to name those names, I just almost got just like a...
Absolutely.
Such a... It's that, for crying out loud, is there something they've ever gotten? And I'm so... to be a part of something. We can talk about this, and people know these geniuses are of wrestling, the Freebirds, and the Midnight Express with the Jim Cornette. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for Power Slams. This is Flavor of the Week.
Absolutely. It's special shout out once again to Tommy Rogers. Prayers out to the family. There's going to be two more questions I'm going to ask after the show. WAWNation.com. Two more questions I'm going to ask, two more tag teams. So go there, chat room. Thank you all once again. Until next week, enjoy your week of wrestling, and God bless. Day loves in Elijah. Goodbye. Good night.